This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Tom Latcham on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, it's December the 1st. Here on FUBAR Radio, of course. That means the time that I bust out my... the Shaken Stevens song, of course. And not only that, my Christmas polo shirt.
Yay!
I'm wearing this little... It's red with
a little elf number.
Little elves on it. I thought, what better day to do this than December the 1st? It's the countdown to Christmas. It's cold and miserable outside, so we're cracking open the eggnog and the mince pies. I don't know if you crack open eggnog, but we're doing it anyway. Who is we? I'm joined by two of my favourite women in the world, obviously, except for my mother and my girlfriend, if you're listening.
Good point.
Actor and comedian Joe Burke and former Doctor Star. Charlie Clemo, hello!
Yay!
How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Did you like the big reveal?
So perfect.
So what you won't know there, listeners, was as that music cranked up, I ripped off my top in a Diet Coke moment to reveal my
you
Christmas.
You ripped off both tops.
Yeah, we did get a lot of belly there.
I always do that. The problem is, hold on, there you go, Charlie. Talk into the mic properly, like right into the front, because it's a rubbish mic. You have to talk right into the mic.
Okay.
No, for some reason, I always do that whenever I take my top off. I can't help it. And my girlfriend's always like, why do you do it? But I don't know how other.
How not to do it.
How not to do it is to tuck your Christmas polo shirt into your pants.
Okay.
Pants or just jeans?
Well, anyway, I've done it, and it's. I think it was a nice surprise.
It was a delight to behold. Well done. Thanks.
Good. Thanks.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for joining us.
So Christmassy, all of a sudden.
Well, I mean. There you go. It's Shaking
Bit
Stevens
shaky.
Is on, man. I mean, it's the annual time. I do it every year. I don't know. It's not a surprise for anyone who's listened to the show for a while. I always stick on Shaking Stevens. So, how are you both? And are you looking forward to Christmas, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm. I woke up with man flu this morning.
So no, then.
But I'm glad to get it out of the way before Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm hoping my immune system, you know, will be built up in time for Christmas Day.
Let's hope it's not a lingerer.
Yes.
Jo?
I'm very excited. It's the 1st of December. Yay. Advent calendars.
Yes.
Bonus.
Have you got one?
Yes, of
chocolate
course.
Chocolate one.
Chocolate, of course, yes. And starting to buy some Christmas presents very soon.
Yeah.
I've got a few already, but not very many.
Yeah, I've bought some Christmas presents as well.
Excellent. Yeah. Tom?
Are they being delivered by
Look
Amazon
at Tom
Prime?
avoiding eye contact.
They're being delivered by Amazon Prime on a drone.
Yeah, we just saw that. It's amazing.
No, actually, I have. I bought all my Christmas presents like in October.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think if you buy them throughout the year, it takes out that sort of hassle. Also, I haven't got many people to buy presents.
I was
going to
say, how many did you get on your list this year?
Yeah, just me, but I bought myself some cracking presents.
Excellent.
I have to say. Just what I wanted, in fact.
Perfect.
You'll be unsurprised to learn. Now, given we're talking about presents, I want to know from you, what do you want for Christmas? I don't want, you know, your genuine stuff, what you really want, because I'm not going to deliver it for you. But, you know, try and be funny, I think. You know,
yeah.
What do you want from Christmas? Be amusing. Tom at foobarradio.com. Tweet us at foobarradio or call us on 0330 223 0200. That number again, 0330 223 0200. What do you want for Christmas? Ladies, what do you want for Christmas? Well, maybe you don't have to answer now, mate. I mean, you can, but if you want to be funny, you know, and you need time for
well
that.
I was just going to say, I just want to be funny. That's the that would be perfect.
It'd be
if someone could organise that
comedian.
For me, that would be great. Thanks
yeah.
very much.
Okay, I can't make any promises, but we'll see what we can do. Charlie?
I don't need more time because I'm less funny over time. We briefly discussed this before we started. I'm spending my first Christmas.
Don't ruin the magic. Don't ruin the magic.
I've never seen her in my life.
This is what we chat. We just all the chats on air. All the good chats on air. We save all the good chats on air.
We didn't talk about this at all before we started.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Well
this
done.
Is,
that's it.
This is my first Christmas away from my parents, and I'm nearly 30. And I've managed to survive 29 Christmases.
You'll love it. Honestly, I've had a few away from my parents. It's fantastic. Again, if you're listening.
Mum, Dad.
It's not that I don't like you. But he just likes other people more. It's very boring, isn't it? At home with the parents is very
like
boring.
Home with the parents.
My parents do a really good Christmas. Yeah. I've been spoilt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's slightly distressing for me.
My parents have got decreasingly good over the years, so, you know.
I think it also depends. Like, my generation in my family have now started having children. So now there's children back in the mix. It kind of makes it a bit more exciting, a bit more fun.
It's weird, isn't it, when there's like four adults sat around in a room watching Strictly Come Dancing. You know what I mean? I go to the pub. I can't get anywhere. No. I can't go out. So it's like, you know, you're just stuck and watching like Mrs. Brown's Boys with your parents.
Yeah.
Last night I went to a BBC press launch, in fact, and the Christmas preview.
Ooh.
And basically, I'm glad you sound excited. It wasn't
very exciting.
And they previewed what was going to be on, and I watched, you know, they did the show reel of what's going to be on, and they were talking about how sort of popular Mrs. Brown's Boys is,
yes.
And you can't help but thinking, you know, the population is stupid.
Mm.
Anyway, so I was sort of wasn't really watching this thing, and then the controller of BBC Four came up to me later. Lovely man, actually, liked him a lot, and he said, "Anything there catch your fancy?" Oh, I was stumped. I was very stumped.
Yeah, I've got Sky.
Citizen Khan. So I didn't know what to say, frankly, so I moved swiftly on.
I'm looking forward to all the Christmas specials, though. Downton Abbey and all of that. It's all good. The Strictly
The last ever Downton, of course.
Yes. It's going to be very sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's going to replace that?
Like some other shit, probably.
Hopefully something I'm in.
Yes, yeah, me too. We'll be in something.
Yeah. Now that I would watch.
Uptown Abbey.
Now that I would watch. I would definitely watch it if you guys were in it. What else? I think they're doing open all hours again.
Why is the question, isn't it?
Well, it was quite popular last year.
Was it?
The new sort of David Jason.
Because David's in it, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
He's the old guy now.
Who's playing the...
Don't know. That sort of suggests that I know what's on television and watch it, which is...
But there's so much new great people and stuff around. It's a shame to keep regurgitating all the classics.
It is.
Leave them where they are.
Yeah.
Admire them for what they were.
Although the head of TV at the BBC last night was at pains to point out that, like... Last Christmas, 6 or 8 million watched a repeat of Mrs. Brown's Boys. Yet again, proving that the population is stupid. But, and also that there's nothing on.
No.
It's Christmas and you're all stuck at home. I mean, in fact, actually, it's remarkable that only 8 million watched that last year, given that everyone's at home, they can't leave, and there's nothing else to do.
I love the fact that you go, you can't leave.
But you can't, can you? What are you going to do?
No, it is true.
Can't get anywhere. There's no buses, there's nowhere to go anyway. You know, nothing, yeah. Nothing.
No, it is true. Cabin fever.
I was on a television programme on the BBC on Christmas Day.
Right.
It was a one-off. And... hilariously, it was at 9 o'clock, which is a desperately awful time for it to be on Christmas Day in our house because everyone's absolutely hammered by 9 p.m. So I could tell that my dad was like slowing down his drinking so that he could actually connect with what was going to be on the telly. And I think there was about 16 of us all gathered in the lounge to watch me do, well, less than I'd done on the day. Inevitably, things get cut, don't they?
Yes.
And about halfway through, I heard my auntie snoring next to me.
Oh, so she enjoyed it. Did you ask her afterwards if she enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah. She still gets ripped for that every year.
Your dad's sort of watching it with one eye open. Like, oh, must stay awake. Anyway, it's not all merriment, I have to say, today.
Why?
Because it appears we will be spending Christmas... It appears that Prime Minister David Cameron will hold a vote tomorrow to carry out airstrikes in Syria after Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, who is against those airstrikes, was humiliated by his party, who demanded a free vote, and he crumbled and gave it to them. And we'll be talking a bit about that later and more from today's papers later on in the show. Also coming up with Charlie Clemo and Joe Burke is our business section with our resident expert Matt Haycox. We'll have an interview with female sports presenter Kiri Bloor. She's presenting a new football show with Jimmy Bullard, and we're talking to her about that. And AP sports reporter Rob Harris will be on the phone talking to us about a brilliant weekend of British sport that included a Davis Cup victory for Britain, the first in 79 years, thanks to Andy Murray, who basically single-handedly won that.
Did it.
I mean, we say Great Britain won it, Andy Murray won it, and also Tyson Fury, who bored his way to the heavyweight title, world title of the world. and by the way, if you listened last week, you'll know, you guys probably won't, I sparred with him back in 2006, so don't want to put too fine a point on it, but I think his success is all down to me. So,
excellent. You were his biggest challenge.
I'll show you the photos later. Very amusing. In fact, I'll tweet them out. Anyone who's listening, I will tweet them out. You can have a look at them. I've got them on my phone. I tweeted them out the other day. I'm not ashamed anymore. The world has seen them. It's very embarrassing, but I will continue that embarrassment here on FUBAR Radio. We'll play a song now and we'll come back. It's 10:13. Why not Carol in the Christmas Way with The Fairy Tale of New York by The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl?
Yay!
Cracking song. Here's FUBAR Radio, 10:13.
Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one, and then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I've got a feeling
Sinatra was swinging, all the junk they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, bye. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
I put down with my own, can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing, go away, bye. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
It's Football Radio. It's Tom Latcham here. It's 10:18. I'm here with Charlie Clemmo and Joe Burke, my two co-presenters for the day. How are you?
Smashing.
Yeah. Cracking. You guys have been sort of looking through the papers a little bit, haven't you? And seeing what's on the front. What are the front pages today saying? I mean, they're largely... there's a couple that's Corbyn related, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
What are they saying? Which one's gone with Corbyn? Because there's a couple that haven't gone with Corbyn, and we'll come to those in a bit.
You're in charge of Corbyn.
Am I?
Hesitance here in the Football Radio HQ, as politics is mentioned.
Absolutely hesitant to talk about Corbyn, obviously. Well, the Mail has gone for 48 hours from war in
Question mark.
Question mark, for,
yeah,
yes.
So, and I always used to read... I read a book by Andrew Marr once... which said, because he had to read all the papers very quickly when he's the editor of The Independent, and one of the tricks he used to use when discarding whether a story was worth reading or not, if it had a question mark in the headline, the answer was probably no.
Wow,
and so no, don't read it. Well, it's true, isn't
it?
If you're
too ambiguous.
If you're a journalist, or you know, you're a site or an editor or whatever, if you know something to be true, you don't put a question mark on it. If it's a question mark, then the answer is probably no. Although I suspect this one probably has a ring of truth to it. We may well be 48 hours from war.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny that the Metro have gone with Corbyn's free vote puts UK on brink of war, which is rather a different twist,
yes.
I would argue.
Yeah, Corbyn's fault.
Yes. The only person that appears to be saying definitely let's not go to war, it's his fault.
Yes,
I think tomorrow we'll find out in the Metro front page that Corbyn's cancelled Christmas.
Yes. Corbyn's joined ISIS.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, what is interesting about this whole thing is there is a very important topic at hand, and that is whether we extend our bombing from Iraq into Syria, whether it will make any difference, or why we're doing it, whether it will kill innocent people, should we be doing it, etc., etc., etc. It's a very important topic that literally has lives at stake. Yet a lot of the media has gone with the Labour Party mess, which is a story. But arguably, you could say it's not...
Not really the most...
The story.
...important one, yeah.
No, it's not at all.
And it just shows how much... How navel-gazing we are as a British media, I suppose, including myself here. And the focus is not so much on David Cameron's decision and whether it's the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also about distracting slightly from the bigger picture, which is far scarier. I mean, it's easier for us to look at the government and think, oh, what a mess, rather than what this
the
might
Middle
incite.
East. What
potential
a mess.
World War III.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Dum-dum-dum, look what's over here.
More importantly, what do we think about Jeremy Corbyn's tracksuit? The Daily Mail saying that Jeremy Corbyn's bringing back tracksuits today, and I've got to say it's not true because I've been wearing one for a while now.
Yes.
I've got a full AFC Bournemouth tracksuit.
Have you?
Yeah. So, am I going to tell this story? I am going to tell this story. Last Christmas, I bought this tracksuit because I thought it'd be quite nice to have a little Bournemouth tracksuit, and I used to wear it. And I wore it, and at Christmas, me and my girlfriend pretended I was Eddie Howe coming to visit children in a ward and give her a present.
A tracksuit or is it a onesie?
No, it's a tracksuit, and I look like Eddie Howe, the Bournemouth manager. So we did a bit of role play.
Nice.
See, I was
nice.
About to say, how does your girlfriend feel about this? But obviously, this is why she's your girlfriend.
Yeah.
No, it was hilarious.
Because
it was hilarious. It was very amusing. It was very amusing. It wasn't sexy role play. It was just like, I'm the Bournemouth manager.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, that
come
is somewhat
me.
Sexy. But
why her, wouldn't you?
For her, less so, I think. it's not the only story that's in town. On the front pages today is a story on the front of the Sun and on the Mirror. Joe, what does that say?
What does what one say?
The story on the front
the one
of
about the...
The
Ripper.
The Mirror.
Yeah, the one I'm holding.
I might need to just borrow that.
Ripper is no longer mentally ill.
Right, what does that mean?
No question mark.
No question mark.
Yeah.
It's official. And what is it? What's the story?
Well, a psychiatrist, try saying that in the morning, says serial killer should be transferred to an ordinary jail. So he's going to go somewhere ordinary.
Which means, they say, that he's not going to be able to watch Strictly Come Dancing anymore. which is you know, when
well,
you've
that's the only
killed
reason.
Numerous women is the most important thing.
It is. Absolutely. And there's a huge difference between being in Broadmoor and being in, possibly Wakefield Prison, which is where they're suggesting he might
go. Yeah. Although, surely he's wondering why he didn't go to South Africa, because you get to live in a mansion there after you've murdered,
this
don't you?
This is very true.
So, I think he made the mistake by actually being in the UK with this
I
work.
Don't think we're allowed to say it was murder.
Okay.
Although I suspect that the laws of South Africa don't apply to the laws of the UK.
Other offences are available.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Thanks.
Look how shocked you are.
She's got my back.
didn't know that Charlie, as well as being a lawyer, as well as being an actor, is also a media lawyer, covering the backs of myself and Joe Burke here in the Fubar Radio studio. anyway, I don't know. I'm going out on a limb here. I don't know that... The Oscar Pistorius is a fan of the show.
No.
And listens to us, so...
No, he's probably got other things on his mind right now, I imagine.
Yep.
But yeah, so yeah.
Well, he hasn't, has he? I mean, he's sitting around his house.
That's
true. What else are you going to do apart from listen to Feel About Radio?
In fact, we should
get in touch with him and say, look, mate, I appreciate for the next 5 years you're...
Not busy.
Yeah, you know... Why not tune in every Tuesday, 10 till 12, Fubar Radio, Tom Latcham Show.
Yeah, we should definitely get in touch with him. Putting it out there, he might have changed his phone number.
Yes, possibly. Yes. Possibly. But he wouldn't be the most faraway listener, would he? Because your dad is in Dubai.
Oh, well, shoehorned. You've shoehorned that into the conversation. Lovely there, Joe.
Excellent.
Well done.
Yeah. Slid that
you
one
got
in.
My back.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad's in Dubai with my mom.
Yeah.
Excellent news.
Yeah. Great. He does work out there a little bit, but he's actually there watching the Rugby Sevens. So he's
really?
Listening now. Hi, Dad.
Hello,
hi.
Dad.
All the way over
hello,
there.
Mr.
What's
Clemmer.
Your dad's name?
John.
John, hello.
Hi,
JC.
John.
Big JC.
JC.
Is he a big rugby fan then? He must be. He's gone to Dubai to watch it.
I think the atmosphere and the drinking and the social activities are just as fun as watching the rugby.
Have you been to Dubai?
I have.
Do you like it?
I do like it, but it's not, a lot of people don't. I mean, I've had a nice holiday there, but I totally get that there's not an awful lot of history. It's very new, but it's very luxurious.
It's hot and sunny, no?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Bingo, I'm loving it.
You can swim in the sea and look at a skyline of skyscrapers.
Why don't you
made by
degrees?
Slaves.
Oh.
It's true though, isn't it?
Is it? And is that why you don't like it?
No, it's just a culture vacuum.
Okay.
Made by slaves.
A vacuum. Mm. I did a stop over there on the way to a wedding in Kenya.
Right. Also, it's too hot.
Too hot.
It is hot. It's very hot.
At night, when I went there, it was 38 degrees at night. And I was like, as soon as I walked out of my flip-flops became so sweaty, you couldn't walk on them. And I was just sliding around Dubai.
Latch them on ice.
Yeah. Hot ice. But I just didn't.
They call them sweat skates.
Yeah. I didn't love it. But I hope, JC, you're having a better time than I had out there.
I'm sure he is.
But yeah, so the Ripper...
The
Ripper.
Yeah, the voices.
Well, yeah, so he basically said, because obviously he's schizophrenic.
Yes.
I don't know that you ever, if it's curable, schizophrenia. I don't know that. Is it not manageable by drugs? But he said that he was stopped hearing the voices, which is why he's been moved from a hospital, which has got, you know, hospital facilities, to a prison, which obviously doesn't.
Mm.
And now he's realised he's going back. He's realised he's started hearing the voices again.
He might hear them again.
I've got more voices.
I've definitely got voices.
All the voices, more voices.
The voices have had children.
Suddenly I'm hearing voices again.
One of these does say that his treatment has effectively finished, which would suggest that they feel that he's
let him out.
Cured.
He's done.
Let him out.
Cured.
Yeah. Come on, mate.
He's cured. He totally regrets it.
Yes.
Give him another chance.
Yeah.
It reminded me of this, which I, from the day today, which I play. I really love this clip. It's one of my favourite clips from the day today.
Next week, Peter Sutcliffe takes to the West End stage to star in a musical of his own knife. On day release from Broadmoor Prison, Sutcliffe has been rehearsing intensively for 3 months. The role includes singing police chases.
You'll never get me in the slammer.
But finishes with Sutcliffe atoning for his crimes.
And I really am so very truly sorry.
That's not actually happening.
No.
But Chris Morris, of course, did con John McCrick into... he convinced him that...
That it was happening.
It was happening, and he was very angry.
They were so good at doing that. When they made up that drug called Cake as well and got everybody to say no to Cake.
Such a great show. Anyway, right, let's we'll play a summer song and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the lighter stories in the paper today that aren't related to mass murderers.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. Charlie, you wanted to play a song for your big JC?
I did.
What is it?
This is Zoom, Fat Larry's band.
Well, why not? I've never even heard the song, but it better be good.
You'll know
it. Zoom, just one look, and then my heart went boom. Suddenly, and we were on the moon. Flying high.
You're listening to Smooth FM here. It's Tom Latcham and it's 10:33. Sexy.
Not really. Smooth already. It's 10:33. I'm Tom Latcham. That's probably the first and last time you'll hear Zoom on this radio station.
Thanks, JC.
It's now on the band list, JC.
It was that or Leonard Cohen, so you've lucked out.
I don't know. Leonard Cohen. Anyway, we're going for the papers. We're talking all sorts of stuff. We want to, it's a Christmas theme, sort of. We want to know what you want for Christmas. Get in touch. Tom at foobarradio.com. Twitter's at foobarradio. Also, in the papers, there's plenty of other stuff, lighter stuff, as I said, that doesn't involve the Yorkshire Ripper. Actually, I've tweeted out the photos of Tyson Fury, so you can all see them now. If you go to the Foobar Radio Twitter feed, do you want to see them, guys?
Yes, please.
Here you go.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, quite a something, eh?
Yeah.
How long ago was that? So that was nine years ago.
So he was 17, I believe, or no, maybe he was 19. He was 19, wow. And I was 24. That fine specimen there, that sexy specimen there, isn't Tyson Fury.
That punch looks like it hurts.
Yeah, it didn't. It was staged.
Good acting.
Hey, guys. You want any tips on acting?
Yeah, please.
Here you go. That's real acting there. You've been in Doctors. You know, you've been in your commercials.
You've been punched in Doctors?
That's real acting.
Yes!
Did you?
See? She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, yeah. They covered all bases in those 3 years.
You were annoying. Your character was particularly annoying. I'm not surprised it got punched.
She gets punched again.
She was a kid. Yeah, annoying little kids. Yeah, like with sort of purple hair and like, you know, just looked like she wanted to deserve a slap.
Yeah.
Aww.
But not you. You're lovely. It's just acting.
Just acting.
Just pretending.
Then there you go. There's me.
Bless you. You look about 11.
You can see that. I don't know what's going on with the hair. I was trying to grow my hair.
To cover your face, not realizing.
Right.
I'm kidding. It's so long.
Not realizing that you could also keep it tidy.
Yes, you could. You can do that.
But you can
it's
see
possible.
That if you go to the Foobar at Foobar Radio Twitter feed, we've retweeted that for you. Go and laugh at my expense. So, as I was saying, you know, heavyweight champion now, and
wow,
I was
amazing.
His very early
punch bag.
So you know, you're welcome.
Yes,
you're welcome, Great Britain. From one British sporting hero to another. Joe, there's a pastry of the sun today. Features whom?
It features our Gazza.
War Gazza.
Gazza. I was high as a kite, it says. It says Paul Gascoigne has revealed that he took 14 lines of cocaine before the Raoul Moat episode.
Very specific. How does he know?
Exactly. After two or three.
Exactly double what Nigella Lawson took.
Oh.
Interesting.
Maybe
celebrities are only allowed to admit they did cocaine in multiples of seven.
Although he's a bit Nigella because... I don't know if you remember what he turned up with when he went to the siege. Because
chicken.
Do you remember?
Yeah, a chicken.
So
of
it's
course.
Got it listed here.
And a fishing
so
rod.
Wait for it. He turned up at police cordon with chicken, cans of lager, a barber jacket, and a fishing rod.
What else do you need in a police siege?
At a siege, who are you going to call? Paul Gascoigne.
I actually had a T-shirt, and I know it's not hugely fun to take the piss out of men to deal people, but no. I had a T-shirt that said that had Gazza's face on it with a fishing rod, and and underneath it said, "Hey, Morty, it's me, Gazza." And I wore it down Brick Lane that weekend, and I tell you what, I was quite the toast of Brick Lane.
I bet you were. Bless him.
Quite the toast of Brick Lane. Poor old Gazza, explaining his Raoul Moat coked up siege binge. But he was paid £30 a head for this event in Newcastle, so it's not all bad for Gazza.
Silver linings.
Yes, small victories and all that. Also, I quite like a story, if you can find it, on Mail page 13, Charlie. This is effectively the police are hunting for bullies who handed out insulting cards to overweight female commuters.
What did they say?
Well, we'll get to the page 13 eventually.
All sorts, Joe. Just you.
Oh, my good Lord. Why would you do that?
Bullies have left women commuters in tears by handing out cards attacking those they see as overweight, branding them fat, ugly humans.
Yeah. And I'm going to read this bit. I've highlighted a bit, so I'm going to read this. So on the reverse, it read, "It's not glandular, it's your gluttony." Our organisation hates fat people. We object to the enormous amount of food resources you consume while half the world starves. We disapprove of your wasting NHS money to treat your selfish greed. And we do not understand why you fail to grasp that by eating less, you'll be better off, slimmer, happy, and find a partner who's not a perverted chubby lover, or even find a partner at all. We also object to that beautiful pig is used as an insult. You are not a pig. You are a fat, ugly human. How big was this card? That's a lot of text to get on a card, isn't it? Yeah.
But also, why just women? Men are fat.
Yeah.
Why were they handing that? That's outrageous. And slim doesn't equal happy. What are they thinking?
Yeah.
That's outrageous on so many levels.
Oh, I was wondering maybe you could give out different types of cards for different types of people. You know.
Like the buggers that wear fecking enormous rucksacks.
Yes.
On commuter
Hold on, were you listening to my show last week?
No, but weren't. I want to be on room 101. I could keep that
this
one in business.
This is a personal bugbear of mine and my girlfriend's. When we were saying, like last week, you know, just people trying to cram on and they're all wearing their rucksacks.
Yeah. With no self-awareness that they're twice the actual size when they turn round or do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said last week on the show that you should have those sort of cutesy little poems that they have on the tube, you know, like... I mean, what I said last week was, you know what I mean? You know, there's sort of public service poems that they have on the tube.
Like
the marketing ones.
Yeah.
Roses are red, violets are blue, take off your fucking rucksack.
Steaming turd of poo. The other one with that is men, and it's always men, that have those trolleys. Fair enough, have a trolley if you've got a big bag, but a size of a wallet on wheels. What the fuck is that about? I just want to tap them on the shoulder and say, that you can hold, instead of trying to fucking trip everyone up with it. You selfish bastard.
Yeah, and people who smell of BO.
Yes.
I was once on tube where someone was
rude.
Sick. Yeah. Hand them a card, don't be sick.
Don't be sick.
Don't be sick. Don't do that.
Why can't other cards be happy cards?
Charlie Clemmer.
But why are we not doing happy cards? So you've got a lovely smile card.
Yeah.
Or
your mum's fit.
That skirt's short, you might want to shut your legs.
Other things are available. If you can come up with any of those as well, give us a shout at tom@foodbarradio.com. Tweet us at foodbarradio. I'm sure you won't, but it'd be funny if you did.
Would we have accepted it if they'd handed them a menu card of nutritional things that they could eat instead?
Or a Nutribullet advert or something.
You know, like if they could distinguish between people who are actually eating too much and are possibly unhealthy and people that are unwell. And maybe can't do anything about it, and they gave them a menu guide, then would we think that was all right?
I don't know, this one does say fat on it.
Yeah. Do we just disagree with the fact that strangers should not be able to.
Unless you're saying something nice.
Also, there's a lot of planning that. Someone's like designed that card, gone to get them a load of printing, and then they're walking around basically trains, and apparently they're doing it so they get on, they spot a fat person, put it in their lap, and then get off.
So that's cowards, a lot of planning.
I mean, you should probably get a hobby.
Yeah, no.
And someone I follow on Twitter tweeted this morning, Vistaprint have got a lot to answer for.
That is so true.
It's true. It's true as well. Surely, if you're printing out such cards, you should be exercising some sort of moral sort
it's
of judgment.
Like,
going, you know what?
That's not for us.
It's not for us.
Yeah. It's like photo printing with Kodak when you didn't used to get them back if they were
saucy.
Inappropriate.
Yeah. But also Vistaprint are to blame because maybe they only were going to have 250 printed and you get double for free. So a whole 250 other people have been pissed off now.
It's going to go right up to New Year.
Yes, this could last forever.
But apparently the police are involved. I don't know what the police are going to do. I don't know what offence is that?
They're like a will-o'-the-wisp.
I don't know what offence might have. I suppose harassment.
Yeah, bloody rude. Is there not any?
Oh yeah, that famous law.
You're bloody rude.
Yeah, I don't know what the police are urging people to get in touch, but I don't know what they'll be done for.
I think you should do the nice version of that and give people nice words.
Yes.
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 Let's make it our aim.
Yeah. Well, no, we should do sarcastic ones. Well, just sarcastic. That's not nasty. So maybe you'd like to rethink your shoes. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, just a little helpful
well, the other
fashion
week,
tip.
Old people, why do old people wear bad shoes? All of them.
Yeah.
But none. The other day, there was a photo of Bruce Forsyth in the paper wearing a Vela tracksuit, which I've got no problem with whatsoever,
you
by
love
the way.
A tracksuit.
With a sort of black overcoat looking short, and a baseball cap, which but anyway, but his shoes.
What?
Like, bad, serious black shoes.
And you're like, with a tracksuit.
With a tracksuit.
Yeah, no. There's no call for that. No, there isn't.
If you're going to go for the casual look, put some trainers on.
Exactly.
But there is a point where men shouldn't wear trainers, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, or a deck shoe.
How old am I? I mean, I'm 33. I've got Nike Air Max on. I don't know.
We've all got trainers on.
Yeah.
We have all got trainers on.
But I don't know.
Is a nice array
for men should at some point. I don't know what that is. Maybe
I was going to say, how old do you
40?
Reckon?
40.
What?
They should
not
start wearing.
But look at David Beckham
wearing shoes. Does David Beckham wear trainers?
Yeah.
Yeah. What sort of trainers does he wear?
Ones that are suitable.
We
for
don't care. No one's looking at his feet. No
he
one is looking
gets
at his
away
feet.
With it.
It's true. I don't know what shoes David Beckham wears.
No.
I reckon sand boots. Anyway, a new order in the papers today because Peter Hook's suing them. He wants loads of money. He wants 12 million quid as opposed to the 1 million quid he's been offered in royalties. So we'll play a bit of Blue Monday.
Yay.
A bit of new order, Blue Monday. And we'll come back and we'll talk some more about what's in the papers after this with Charlie Camo and Joe Burke. It's Football Radio. It's 10:44 with me, Tom Latcham. That was an abrupt ending. Sorry about that. I'm not quite sure why that was. I just decided to cut off. It's nothing to do with me this time. Usually it's 10:47 here at Football Radio. I'm joined in the studio still by former Doctor star and actress and all round lovely person Charlie Clemo and Joe Burke, actress and comedian, who's been on before.
Yes.
You love it here, don't you?
I
it's
do.
Like a second home.
I want
Joe.
To be here always.
Yeah. And Charlie, how are you enjoying your debut? Strong debut.
We're having a great time.
Good. We've drugged her.
We did. We've paid her to say that.
So there's plenty more to talk about. Some can be from the papers, some don't have to be. But I wondered if you were interested in what I'd been up to last week.
Yes.
Yes. Is that the
yes.
right answer, Joe? That is
I
the correct
am.
Answer, Joe.
And do you
Burke.
Know why? Because I love her a little bit.
Yes. People don't know what you're talking about.
No, you're going to explain.
Who are you talking about? Adele, no less. Adele, obviously, last week became the fastest selling album ever.
Yeah.
Selling, I think it was 800,000 albums in 1 week.
Yep, all over the world.
Remarkable. Number one in like 100 odd countries. Amazing stuff.
Yep.
And I thought that it would be a nice idea to go back to. To go back to her first house and have a root around in her old loft.
Nice. Yes. Why wouldn't you?
So
that's
what I did. And basically, it wasn't quite as creepy as it sounds.
No.
I went and spoke to the owner of the house because I thought it would make quite an interesting just piece to just go in and take photos of her flat because where she was born in Tottenham, because it was a very small flat. And I thought, you know, here's the sort of pokey dump that Adele grew up in.
The beginning.
Now she could buy this X number of times over or whatever, and I got there, knocked on the door, lovely woman called June answered the door, and she said, yes, of course you can come in and take some photos. She said, you know what, I actually think there's some of her old stuff in the loft, do you want to climb in? And I was like, yes please. So humble brag coming up. Fortunately I've been to the gym recently, the ladder was quite small, and I had to like pull myself up into the loft. It's a good job that I hadn't just played hockey, because I've bruised my ribs now. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to do this on current
form. Are you injured?
Yeah, I'm injured.
I thought you were just touching your boobs.
No.
Because every now and then you've been doing that.
It's the added bonus of it being close to those.
I thought you were just having a little feel, make sure they're still there.
Bit of both.
Yeah, they're nice.
Bit of both.
They're nice. Cracking set.
They are nice.
Still
in. I'm glad you've noticed.
Tom's quite good at hockey.
Wow, amazing.
I used to captain Middlesex under-19s.
Did you?
Yeah.
Get you.
And now my legs have gone. But I play
Where
up front.
Where have they gone?
I wish I knew. I might be able to
come back. If anyone's seen Latcham's legs, please tweet.
I now play up front for East London Fives, and I'm the top scorer. I was the top scorer last year. I was player of the season, scored 24 goals in 17 games.
Wow.
This season I'm on 12 in 9, although didn't score at the weekend. Hit the bar. So anyway. But anyway, I digress.
Yes.
So
back
anyway,
Sophie says, you have an opinion, you back it up with fact. Your opinion is that you're great at hockey, and you just backed it up with loads of facts.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she's not just a pretty face,
she's
my girlfriend.
She's not.
So I was in the loft and I was like hunting around in the dust with my mobile, with the light, you know, the torch.
Oh, yeah, using it, yeah.
And I found a whole manner of her stuff, including her birth card, you know, that you get given when your baby is born, with her weight and measurements and all that sort of thing on it, which proved that it was hers and not someone else's. Yes. I found a painting that she'd done of a horse. worth a lot of money, that. I mean, you know, showing Adele's early art.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I also found her first ever trike. I also found the box of her first ever keyboard, electronic keyboard, where I like to think she created some of her first songs.
She will have done, that was from her first album, Fall.
Very good. And then also from a little SingStar guitar type thing, you know, where I like to think she wrote some of her first songs.
Exactly,
some other artifacts, and it went in the sun. And I've got in touch with her people to see if she wants them back.
I'm
assuming she's got more important things to do than come around and collect some old shit from her old love.
That she clearly left there on purpose.
Well, her mum must have done.
That's quite sweet.
Can I ask you how do you go about starting something like that? Like, what triggered that?
Well,
I'd
previously done
house.
A story on Rita Ora when she became the new X Factor person. I was like, she came from Kosovo when she was one. I imagine she moved into, you can see there's a theme here, a pokey little dump.
Yeah.
So we went round there and it was a small flat. And also, what is interesting about Rita Ora is, it's less interesting than the Adele one, I admit, but they're not called Rita, they're not called the Auras. That's not their real name. They've got a Kosovan name. But Ora means hour in Kosovo, and they were obsessed with clocks. And Rita Ora's first house still has lots of holes all around it where the clocks were. So that made a sort of bit in the sun, you know, sort of as part of a wider thing. So I thought, well, let's do that again for Adele. You know, when you've got something that works,
flog it to the death. You should do a whole series.
Well, I was actually in there joking about how actually I think there's a TV show in this, like, you know, Stars in Your Loft or
Pop Stars Pokey Pads.
Yeah,
that's all you've got to do.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's not creepy. It was a TV show. Honest.
No.
You know, that's the catchphrase.
Tom, get out the loft.
Maybe need some work. Yeah, what are you doing in my old loft? But also the headline on the piece, which I loved, sort of the bit across the stuff. It said, "Hello, ... it's me old stuff," which I thought was quite a cute little top. Yeah. Well done, son.
Yeah, really nice.
Did a good
job. Quotes that you've got on there, are they genuine? Like, did Tim Wannacott actually say that something would be worth...
He did.
Hundreds of pounds.
He did say that.
The horse, the horse, the picture of the horse.
Yeah.
The picture of the horse is definitely was worth more.
£1 to £2.
Because it shows her artistic side.
Yes. Was it a good horse then?
I mean, it was. You could tell it was a horse.
Okay. Well, that's something, isn't it? That's something.
Yeah, you could tell it was a horse.
Excellent. Excellent.
I like the birth card the most, I've got
the
to
birth
say.
Card,
I thought that
yeah.
was, like, really special.
So where are they? Are they still in the loft? Or what have you done with them?
June's still got them.
She's still got them. She's in possession.
And we are going we're waiting to see whether they want them back. But I suspect that she might have more important things, like, you know, touring her best-selling album all around the world, etc., etc.
But her mum might want her birth card back.
Yeah, well, hopefully they will come and get in touch and we'll get it back to them. You know, we're not planning on selling it, for instance. You know,
no.
Some people on Twitter were saying, oh, what a parasite that woman was. But actually, the reality was, it was just me knocking on the door
she
and her going, I think
there.
It was up there.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't parasitic at all. No. I mean, there was no plan to sell it. So it's not, as I say, it sounds creepy if you tell people you've been, you know, rooting
rifling
through Adele's old loft.
Yes.
But the reality is, it's quite a sweet story,
yes.
I think.
It's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Good initiative.
Yes, good initiative.
Well done.
So we're going to be having sports presenter Kiri Bloor in a minute, but there's been some other stories that we've liked. Which stories have you liked, Joe, this week?
Me.
I quite like this one. I don't know about you. there's a recoil in the studio. Would you? The question is, Joe and Charlie.
Oh, here it is. Here.
I love sourdough.
I bet it is.
I love sourdough. I've got to say, I do love sourdough. Would I eat sourdough if I knew it had been made out of a woman's vaginal yeast?
Now, are we vaginal or vaginal?
Vaginal.
Vaginal,
oh,
vaginal.
Gosh,
they're both not very pleasant, are they?
No, it's the sound of the word. It's just...
Yes. You wouldn't stick it on a menu, would you?
Veggie bread. Would you like veggie bread with that?
Zoe Stavry, who's a feminist blogger, who announced she had thrush and she was only considering... Oh, it's all off.
I've
just realised it's a load of nonsense.
Yes.
Considering the idea of using it to make sourdough.
Yeah. Do you know what I think that would go well with? Some of that breast milk ice cream. You could have a little bit of a picnic
delicious.
Going on there.
Delicious.
Nice.
But there is actually a picture of a bowl. I mean,
where's the picture of a bowl?
Oh, well, it's not here in front of us, but on the main article, there is a picture of a bowl and a fork
and her
and the ingredients.
Very well done. You just skimmed over that one rather nicely, Charlie. But would we eat it?
No, I would not eat it.
I'll tell you what's most confusing about this story. Sourdough is made without yeast. Sourdough is by definition.
Is it?
See, I don't
that
know
is made
that.
Without yeast,
I'm
isn't
not.
It?
I'm a born microwaver, so I wouldn't know what that. I wouldn't know the ingredients for bread.
I'm sure that.
I'm not sure that's true.
Lots of
sourdough's been made with natural yeast. I think that's the point for years. That's what this woman Zoe was saying. That it's been
and
made
how
out
more
of natural yeast.
Can you get?
So sourdough is made without the addition of
faggy yeast.
Exactly.
It's just not right. It's not okay. Basically, if you need to go on a diet, just read this story and you won't want to eat for hours.
I never said that. Right, let's play another song and then we're going to get sports presenter Kiri Bloor in for an interview. She's presenting a new TV show, a new sports show on London Live with Jimmy Bullard, who, I don't know if you know Jimmy Bullard, either of you guys, but he's quite amusing. He's quite an amusing chap.
Oh.
A bit of a prankster. We like him.
Nice.
He's not here, but his co-presenter Kiri Bloor is, and we'll be talking to her about the show and what it's like to work with him. And also, I suppose being a woman in what is historically seen as quite a man's world.
Yes, I'm
sure that, you know, being because you are both women.
I'm not sure today, are we?
Yes, we are.
I can
confirm.
Got
man flu, though.
Yes.
Well, we'll be all talking about that in a minute. We'll play this is Take Me to the Church by Hosier, and we'll be back right after this on FUBAR Radio. It's 10:57.
My lover's got humour. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. Should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak, a fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well. Amen.
This is Football Radio into the second hour here. It's me, Tom Latcham. I'm in the studio with Joe Burke, comedian and actor, and also Charlie Clemo, actor and not comedian.
She's very funny
at times. We've got a Christmas theme going on here. I'm wearing my Christmas polo shirt. The famous, everyone's got a Christmas polo shirt, right? And I'm wearing it with the top button done up. Hipster Christmas polo shirt. And we want to know what you want for Christmas. Get in touch, Tom at FootballRadio.com. Tweet us at FootballRadio or call us on 0330. Oh, I can't remember the name, number. I really shouldn't remember the number. 0330-223-0200. Thank you very much there, Will the producer. Now, we're also, I'm pleased to be say we're joined in the studio by Kiri Bloor. She spent almost a decade as a TV presenter. Maybe she can teach us a thing or two, guys. She was the lead reporter for TLC's coverage of the royal wedding of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, which led to her being asked to play a TV presenter in E's TV drama The Royals, as well as being a red carpet correspondent. But now she's turned attention to the world of male-dominated sports presenting and is co-hosting London Live's brand new football show. Jimmy Bullard kicks off alongside who else? Can you guess? Jimmy Bullard.
Clues in the title.
Hello, Kiri. How are you?
I'm good, my love. How are you?
I'm all right. You looking forward to Christmas, are we?
Well, now I've seen your shirt, of course.
Hey,
winner.
Cheering everybody up. What do you want for Christmas, Kiri?
Oh, I haven't. Some sunshine. I'm just going
some
with sunshine, yeah.
Fair enough. Are you going to get it?
I don't think so.
Well, no. I mean, not if there's, because there's a heavy football calendar over Christmas still. There's no winter break.
Just ruining my sunshine.
So you'll have to be here to do the football show,
yeah,
right,
exactly,
over Christmas. Are you going all the way through Christmas or having any time off?
Are stopping on the 18th of December, and then the date that we start again will be a surprise.
Oh, okay. To you?
Well, maybe.
You should probably find out. Otherwise, you won't know where to go. So tell us a bit about the show. I mean, we know Jimmy Bullard's on it.
Yeah,
but
Jimmy's
beyond
on
that, what else is the show? What's the show about?
Well, Jimmy's on Fridays, Jason Cundy on Mondays. It kicks off, it's a football, and then somehow a mad TFI type of feel on Fridays.
Yeah.
So we have artists, musicians. We've had a couple of sing-alongs in the studio,
really?
Which is random for a football show. We've got fans in the away end. It's just an hour of literal craziness from start to finish.
That TFI Friday vibes back, right?
Yeah,
because I mean, obviously Chris Evans is doing it. Although I watched it the other day. Have you guys seen TFI Friday?
Yes,
Charlie,
yeah.
Or Joe?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's not quite the magic that it was before.
No, I mean, it was basically like the people that were on it were like, because I remember it was sort of anarchic and young,
but
and
I think
cool.
We were young.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And now you've got like, yeah, I know.
Point, well,
yeah. And now you've got Dawn French as a guest, and you're like, not quite as edgy as it once was, perhaps. But it's as a concept, it's still got legs, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not sure we started off thinking about that, but that's just how.
That's just how it's gone. Well, that's no bad thing.
Yeah, it's just loads of fun.
So it's a bit of a mess sometimes, and it's a bit like.
I was just saying to your producer, our producer's worst nightmare. From start to finish.
But as a viewer,
it's so
perhaps,
much fun.
It makes for good viewing. And what makes it different to other sort of TV football shows?
Jimmy, mainly.
Right, okay.
But yeah, it's a lot different because we've got fans, live fans in the studio, so you might even come in on Friday, you never know.
Yeah.
And then we do our series, I do the series football talk, but Jimmy does all the celebrity sort of guest talk, so it's got a bit of everything. So, you know, you can sit with your wife and watch it as well. You don't have to be. It's not just a boys show.
So it's not too football. I mean, it's got other elements as well.
Yeah,
as
we've
football.
Got some. We always have a little section for other London sports as well. So rugby, boxing, whatever's going on in the capital.
Mm. Mm. And how is Jimmy? Oh, right, like that, is it?
Jimmy's fine. He's lovely.
Is he as crazy on the show as he has been historically on the pitch?
Yeah, he's an amazing person. He's hyperactive.
That makes for a good co-presenter, doesn't it?
The best co-presenter, yeah, definitely.
And is he a good broadcaster? Because
Yes, he's very professional.
Are you teaching him stuff?
He keeps saying, I'm the professional one, which puts the pressure on me. But we're getting there together.
Yeah.
Do you have to give him any tips or anything, or, you know, help him out, save him from himself ever?
He's quite good. We've all made mistakes. I make mistakes as well. So we're there as a little team.
I saw him on Soccer AM. He does a thing on Soccer AM every week.
Yeah.
Where he does this thing called Know the Drill,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yeah.
Where basically he goes up against a professional footballer in a
competition.
He's been
going up against the ladies as well, hasn't
he?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the one against the ladies. I saw him against Chris Wood at Leeds,
yeah,
who was pretty rubbish himself. And yet Jimmy was worse. Very out of shape. It's as though he's not been training recently, obviously.
Well, he's playing for his vets team. So we filmed his vets team on the show on Friday. So they played on the weekend. He's playing with them.
Really?
Quite a lot, yeah.
Well, he was doing this one where basically he was sort of running into the coach and they sort of pushed him back with one of those rugby pads and then he had to go around and try and finish a cross or whatever, and he was blowing out of his ass after about like number three and lost. And I thought I'd probably be better than that, actually, and I'm not particularly good at football.
Bless him. Well, he's a TV presenter now.
He's a TV presenter, it's true. Chris Wood would be no good at TV presenting.
There you go.
He beat Chris Wood at TV presenting, maybe. And is he as mischievous as he seems?
Yes, very much so.
Does he do pranks?
No, he was talking about... Well, no, not really. He's just a little bit of trouble.
Is he? Well, you asked him what the worst prank he played on a player.
Yeah.
What was it?
He peed in the aftershave bottle. But I'm not sure whether that's... I don't know whether that's true. I wasn't there. I can't say whether that's true or not.
Do we know who it was that he peed into?
I am not a...
You do know that, don't you? Come on.
No, I don't.
Liar.
No, I don't.
Oh, you're very professional.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's true.
Damn you.
Yeah, we wanted the scoop. I'm trying to think who we played with. Maybe we can get to the bottom of it later.
It's endlessly.
Maybe you can tell us off air.
It's yeah, an end. Yeah, yeah, because I trust your face.
Nudge, nudge.
What's wrong with my face?
Yeah, yeah, wink, wink, definitely off.
What's wrong with my face?
Nothing
maybe you
wrong.
Can tell these two.
Yeah, they look trustworthy yeah. without their Christmas attire.
They're much more trustworthy. And they won't tell me. They promised not to tell me. So he hasn't pulled any pranks on
not
you.
Not much, I think so.
Not that you know of.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Ooh, that perfume. Jimmy,
thanks.
Thanks for the Christmas perfume.
Yeah, exactly.
Wear it every day.
Stings a bit.
The best kind of prank, yeah.
There's no blokes coming near me, are they? and you haven't pranked him?
I've never thought about it, but
do
no,
it. Can we think of a prank?
Let's think of a prank.
Can we try and think of a prank?
The thing is, you've got to think of one that I can pull off. I'm not good at these things.
We could make him eat some veggie yeast bread.
Oh, yes. Yes. There's a lovely symmetry
sandwich
there.
For you.
Do
Jim.
I need to ask what's wrong with you?
Have a read of that.
There you go. Here's the story, Kiri.
Oh, good. There's a story.
Yes. We're not just making up.
It's been printed.
We're not just making up stories about.
It's out there.
About sourdough made via yeast infection. Kiri's looks.
I'm clean, by the way, people.
Horrified.
I'm clean.
The new age of bloggers.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. People can put any rubbish out there. But yeah, make Jimmy some bread.
Yep. Nice sarnie.
From Zoe. Some of Zoe's bread.
I know it's the first time you met me, but making a sandwich is not my strong point. I'm making anything.
I'll make you a sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll get in touch with Zoe and make you
done.
A sandwich. But your background is in celebrity presenting as well, isn't it? Sort of in red carpet-y stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the biggest celebrity you've ever interviewed?
In fact, Idris Elba, maybe.
That's quite good.
There's a new series coming as well.
Of Luther.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dev Patel, George Clooney.
Oh, very good. Oh, yeah, very good. George Clooney. Yeah.
He's the only one I knew. I don't really know anyone that well.
Oh, really? Which kind of makes your job tricky. I mean, you have PRs going down. I mean, look, I've been there. I used to be the TV editor of the News of the World, so I've been on red carpets.
Exactly, you know what it's like.
In fact, Charlie Clemo, we met on a red carpet.
Oh, was it love at first sight?
We got on instantly. It was an instant rapport.
If you could see her smile.
It's awkward, aren't they, red carpets, Charlie?
Very. Depends who you bump into.
Do you want some bread?
And if anyone knows who you are.
Well, this is the point. So basically, PRs come down and they go, this is X person. Now, obviously on them soap ones, I now write a soap page, so I know who the soap people are.
Yeah,
but at the
yeah.
time, I wasn't as up on it as I might have been.
You mean so like me?
Yeah, well, they're telling you who these people are, and you're like...
Really?
You're going through the little sheet that they give
yeah,
you.
Yeah, with their faces. Yeah. But that doesn't give you any potential questions. So you're just like, hi, having a nice night.
I'm so glad you've been there.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, God, who are you?
Have you had any awkward moments on the red carpet?
Dev Patel, I asked him what he'd been in recently, and he went, oh, this little-known movie called Slumdog Millionaire.
Genius.
I went, that sounds great. Tell me more about it. And his face, he was like, what the hell's wrong with you?
No, but that's a good idea for a sort of like a spoof thing, like Dennis Penis.
Dennis Penis.
But you look like
brilliant.
A really, you know, you could be a glamorous red carpet person
who
just asking really dumb, inane questions and just being all like.
I love the way he's got my number already.
Hey, I've built a career on that.
Don't knock it.
I was once on a red carpet and one of the magazine people said to I'm trying to remember who it was. It was Reggie Yates, I think. They said, "Oh, how's Shrek the musical?" And he went, "No, that's Richard Blackwood."
That's funny.
No, which I thought was very amusing. Yeah. But
I think
the ground
it's
open
much
up.
Better to open with a naive question than get someone wrong. I've definitely I'm represented by my agent represents Georgie Porter as well, who at the time was playing a teenage bleach blonde girl in Hollyoaks, which obviously gets a lot more press. And I'd get onto a carpet and everyone would go, "Is it Georgie? Is it?" And they'd all be looking down. I'd have gone. No one would have asked me a question and they couldn't figure out whether it was
or
you
should
wasn't.
Have pretended to be Georgie Porter. Yeah. You could have like ruined her career and got a job in Hollyoaks. Yeah, I know about that STD. Embarrassing, isn't it? You know, ooh, what can you do? Really shouldn't have done that. But you know, and I hate my boss. She's a right idiot. That would have been good. You could have built a career as the new Georgie Porter by ruining Georgie Porter's career. You could have in the jungle.
Yes, could have been you.
Yay. No, she's far braver than me. She's very brave and
oh bless her. Yeah.
She's doing very well.
Would you go in the jungle, Kiri?
Probably not.
Would you go in the jungle, Charlie?
I don't think so.
Joe?
Absolutely no.
Oh really?
Way. I can't stand creepy. I can't stand a house spider.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
There's no way.
And it's only 2 weeks, but 2 weeks is a long time.
Is it only 2 weeks?
Yeah. Well, I
feels
think it's
like
two and a half. Two and a half. Yeah.
It's not like Big Brother length of time.
Although you'd be good for losing weight. I wouldn't mind
pre-Christmas
that.
That's probably why they do it.
No, not you, Charlie. Sorry, that's terribly rude of me. I don't know why I looked directly at you, Charlie.
You gave me the eyes as well.
You're really
good for losing weight.
No, I mean for myself.
Yeah.
Although Strictly does the same. I mean, have you seen Peter Andre recently?
Yes.
He's like he's skeletal.
But he wasn't even big to start with.
No, exactly.
Yeah. You can be too thin. Mm. It makes you look a bit old. And I'm so gutted. All of you have got red carpet stories. I've never been on a red carpet.
You were. It's not that exciting.
It's really boring.
And it's really cold most of the time.
If anyone out there's just got a bit of red carpet I can stand on.
Also, it's really sycophantic.
Please
as well.
Send it
it's
in.
Just like, it's like really tedious. And the thing, I don't know, Charlie, how you found the red carpets being as you were, I mean, in the greatest respect, in Doctors, which isn't a huge draw for the newspapers when you're,
exactly.
You know, you're alongside the Corrie and the EastEnders.
It means
lot.
That the carpets that you go onto, there's far more interesting things for them to talk about. And I think, I think it can be difficult at times, but then there's quite a cluster of, it gets good viewers, it gets more viewers than Hollyoaks. So it depends on which people actually come out to the carpet to see you.
Right.
And it can bring quite an unusual crowd.
And that's why we got on, because you were just sort of standing. You were standing around at the end, and I just went, "Oh, hi, Charlie." You know, we were introduced by BCPR, and I just like started chatting. We got on very well, and here we are, 3 or 4 years. No,
yay.
5 years later.
5 years later,
I think you've made it.
You're
on FUBAR.
There were only 14 people in that show, and I was the only young female. So I was never in competition with anybody, what I was wearing, or how I looked, or my script.
But you'd wear nice dresses, wouldn't you? Because they do those sort of like really horrible, bitchy sort of pages where who's a winner, who's not, and it's completely arbitrary, it's just what one person thinks, isn't it? But you did wear
my
some
first
nice
ever who wore it better was me and Cheryl Cole.
Who wore it better?
Well, Cheryl Cole, obviously.
And is that what the newspaper said?
I don't think there was a poll, there was just comments. But
just abusive comments. It's so nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks.
Right, we'll talk more in a bit. We're going to play a song and then we'll come back and talk more with Kiri Bloor after this. I'm here with Joe Burke and Charlie Clemmer, and we're having lots of fun. I hope you are too. Let's play a bit of Queen and David Bowie with Under Pressure. It's Football Radio. It's Limb 14. Pressure.
people on streets.
So slashed and torn.
Tom Latcham here on Football Radio. It's 11:18. I'm still here with my two lovely co-presenters, Joe Burke and Charlie Clemmer. I'm also with Kiri Bull, who is presenting a new TV show with on London Live. Jimmy Bullard kicks off. Why not Jimmy and Kiri kicks off?
Yeah.
Well, we've got Jason Cundy kicks off on Mondays now, so maybe.
Everyone's maybe. Kicking off at
Everyone's
London
kicking
Live.
Off apart from me.
And how did you get the job? How did the job come about?
It's a format that we went to London Live with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you were behind coming up with the format?
But obviously it's a massive team effort, so everybody's sort of joined forces now. Yeah. But that's how it sort of all started.
Oh, very good. Are you a big football fan?
Yeah.
Who do you support?
Big sports fan.
Who do you support?
I'm a secret Reading fan.
Oh.
Oh, right.
I actually hate Reading. I shouldn't say that. I'm looking at Will, the producer. My least favourite football team in the country is Reading. I do apologise. I'm a Bournemouth fan, and it's not that local a derby. It's 70 miles, but we were
He's just made up a local derby.
No, but we never played Southampton or Portsmouth, so we always played Reading, and we were the same size. And then you sort of had this new big stadium, and you went up and
now you've gone
successful.
Up.
And so now we're maybe be
rivals. So, Kiri, what's your favourite sport?
Well, I do a lot of motor racing stuff as well, so motor racing. I don't know all sports, really. It's just for work, this industry anyway, it's a really nice place to be around sport. It's just an easier, rather than on the red carpet like we talked about, it's just a nicer.
As warmer.
Yeah. Well, not always. I've been in mountains before.
That's true. Do you think that more and more women are presenting sports shows, but it's historically quite a male-dominated area. I mean, you could say that about anything, actually. I mean, I was watching Saturday Kitchen and with James Martin, and it was like Chris Evans, some other guy, Jason Atherton, and I was like, what? And it suddenly struck me, there's no women doing cookery shows. No.
Yeah, they used to be though, didn't they? Delia's doing a bit now.
No, but those sort of Saturday Sunday
chat show.
Yeah,
ones,
those chat shows.
Really.
They're all blokes.
Yeah, and well, I think Strictly are the only one that have got two female leads, aren't they? Obviously, but there's it tends still not to be a female lead on a lot of things.
Mm. Do you get anybody sort of ever saying, "Well, what do you know about football? You're a woman." I mean, like my girlfriend's granddad would say, he's 94, and he'd be like, "Wow, a woman doesn't know about football."
It's funny. None of our obviously guests or anyone that I work with or anything like that, but some of my friends or some of my boyfriend's friends sometimes will say stuff like that, and you're like, "Wow, I never expected that from you." The person that you least expect it will say it.
I won't name the person, but one of my good close friends, we were visiting him in America, and he told, after we'd been drinking all day, decided that would be a good time to tell my very staunchly feminist girlfriend that women shouldn't be allowed at football. And yeah, it caused quite a row.
was he serious or was he joking?
No, he was being serious. And I went, "You don't mean that, do you?" Giving him a chance to go, "No." He went, "I do." I was like, "Oh, come on, mate. Come on.
I gave you a shot.
Read the signals."
What reasons did he give?
I mean, obviously,
he goes, what women can't know about football because they've never played it. I was like,
I've never played it.
NFL, right?
No.
Football.
Football.
But women. In the war, women were like the main people that played football. They were the main source of entertainment in terms of football.
Is that true?
Yeah, during World War II.
Wow, because all the guys were out fighting.
And they were amazing. Really? And they used to get crowds of like 20,000, 30,000 people coming to watch
them.
Yeah.
That's it. I did not know that. That is interesting.
Interesting fact.
That is interesting.
Wow. I think what that show needs, your London Live show needs an Alan Davis character that knows nothing about anything, which would be me. Because I don't know.
You'd be surprised how many.
Make everyone at home feel much more comfortable.
There was a sketch in Armando Iannucci's Time Trumpet, which was sort of overlooked. It was about the time of 9/11, so it was a great show, but it was never really watched. And I saw one the other day, and it was brilliant. It was like all these guys talking about football in the pub, being like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," and another bloke sort of going, "Oh, I don't know what these people are talking about," like trying to make stuff. And then he sort of like found a lead, going away and followed this in their lead, and they've just got commentators downstairs telling them what to say.
Amazing.
So yeah, that's the way forward. Just get a commentator in the cellar.
Good.
But yeah, no. So this guy, I mean, going back to my guy saying about what he said, my mate. We'd had this beautiful hotel room. It was the biggest bed we'd ever slept in.
Yeah.
We slept on opposite sides of that very big bed that night. Cheers, mate.
Thanks for that, mate.
You just ruined a lovely night. and who are your inspirations in terms of presenters in sport? Do you have any?
No, not really. I think because I'd like everyone to be themselves, be separate, be individuals. So not really. Mm. And especially with women in sport, everyone's doing something different. So it's just amazing that anyone's doing anything, really.
Mm.
So it's nice to see whatever anyone's doing.
Mm. Charlie's a big horse racing fan, aren't you? And someone who's breaking the mould in that is Victoria Pendleton.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know
Because she's story?
Not really, but we showed AP McCoy's trailer for his movie, his documentary, and she was talking on it in our trailer yesterday, and I wondered what the link was.
So basically she's joined forces with Betfair, and I think it was March this year it all kind of kicked off. And they're basically sponsoring her to train to become a jockey. Mm. And the goal is to race in Cheltenham in March next year, which basically gives her just a year to be a professional jockey. Yeah, so she went over her first jumps at the weekend. She pulled up, actually, but the ground was very soft for the particular horse that she was riding.
And only three from the end as well, I think, she pulled up. No, so she got quite far down the...
Yeah, and there were a few different takes on it. You know, some were like, she's delighted that she got that far. Yeah.
I bet she wasn't.
She balls up
I bet she was annoyed. I've interviewed her. She's,
have you? Yeah, she's very competitive.
Boringly serious, sort of. But you have to be when you're an Olympic athlete. And,
an opportunity to be given that chance, having retired as a professional at the peak, and then be given a chance to do another sport. It's just, it raised quite a lot. Interestingly, AP McCoy suggested recently when he retired that women could maybe be given an allowance, a weight allowance, like fillies, like female horses are given a weight allowance against male horses to make sure that they can compete. But I think, obviously...
Why? Is it better to be It's better to be lighter, right?
Yes,
so you find that women would actually be
potentially better. Yeah, but if they made them so
their
most races are handicapped so that they make them equal, but if a woman was riding an equal horse, that she was allowed to wear, take a few less weights to make her equally competitive with a man.
But they should, because I mean, I used to be an event rider to. Men and women are equal. I find that a bit.
I think all of the female jockeys would completely. Yeah. They're like, that's just patronising.
It is patronising because I wouldn't see a male jockey as any better than me.
Yeah. And I think McCoy's argument was.
He was probably just trying to promote women in the sport, I'm sure.
Possibly. But. Yeah. And I think he was saying, of course, they will be as tactical, as intelligent, all of that kind of thing, but there's a possibility that they won't be as strong, and can we make it.
He deserves a little kick on the shoe.
I'm totally
you should get her in
trouble now.
You should get her in your show.
You should, yeah.
She'd be a great guest.
Well, yeah. We've got Alex Scott from Arsenal ladies coming on Friday, which is exciting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is really good.
There's one woman who would be good at, I can't remember her name.
Just one woman.
No, there is a woman. I can't remember her name, which is bad, but it doesn't all go back to the bread.
Seriously, it's been printed out quite a few times in the studio.
We want everyone to know there is some vaginal bread available on the market. Anyone who comes in here must know. No, there is one of the England players, I don't think she plays for England anymore, but she played for Chelsea, I think. She was playing 6 weeks after giving birth, which I just think is incredible. She was playing quite up to the point as well as she gave birth, and then playing again 6 weeks after. I mean, it's amazing sort of professionalism and
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I've never seen any difference between men and women, so I never think when people say stuff, I'm like, well, obviously.
Yeah, but most blokes never give birth.
Well, yeah.
You know, so I mean, that is remarkable that someone who's.
Most, oh, yeah. No, there is one guy, isn't there?
Some blokes don't give birth.
No, there is one guy. There's a guy that, you know, did once in America, I'm sure. There is.
I don't think he was.
Well, I know. I think he had other bits.
I think you're bound to be more competitive if you think like that anyway. Hayley Turner is the female flat jockey champion, effectively. She's the best female. And she said that ultimately, if you know, you will be chosen to ride if you are good enough.
And so that's really important. Yeah, that's the thing. It's really important not to say because women are good enough. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Right, well, unfortunately, we've come to the end, but it's been lovely to have you in. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your new show, Jimmy Bullard and Jason Cunningham,
depending
on the night, kicks off as on Mondays and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Is that
it does
correct?
Indeed.
And why should people watch?
Because it's so much fun from start to finish. Honestly, you'll love it. And you're going to come in, so why not?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I don't know that I am on Friday, you know, because I'm going to see The Prodigy.
Selfish.
Excellent.
Better off
The Prodigy.
Well, the other Friday then.
Yeah, I will come in another time. Kiwi Bloor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Come back in again sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
Why not?
No, thank you for having me.
No, it's been fun. We're going to have our business section next. Still here. You're going to stay here, Joe Burke, aren't you? Charlie Clemo. Nothing better to do. Going to stay here for the next half an hour.
Hang on, that's my agent calling.
Excuse me.
Like you've got an agent. This is Fubar Radio. We've got Matt Haycock's up in the sets, but coming up next. This is Full Gold by the Stone Roses. It's to 11:28, and you sack your agent. We'll be right back.
Matt Haycox, in association with Access Commercial Finance, creative commercial funding.
Yes, that means it's time for our weekly business feature with our resident expert, Matt Haycox. I'm still here with Joe Burke and Charlie Clemo. They might chip in at some point, but they might not. We'll just see. Matt, hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Merry
good.
Christmas.
Thank you very much.
merry approach to Christmas. Have you got your tree up?
Yes, put it up on Saturday.
Have you?
Put it up on
so
Saturday.
So did my girlfriend as well. Too early. It's okay, no, it's bad luck, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's bad luck to do it in November.
But it's also nice.
Who picks the right day, though?
I don't know. Is there, is there an actual correct day?
There's like a correct day for it to come down,
you're
isn't
right.
there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I think
free for all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each to their own.
I'll tell you a completely non-business related taking it down Christmas tree story, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hopefully we don't waste too much time.
So I
used to live in the States, and over there we had a house in a gated community, and these gated communities have so many rules, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, you get told when you can take your bins out, when you can take your bins back in, and they have rules to do with Christmas. So there's a day you're allowed to put your decorations up on the outside of your house, and the day you have to take them down again. And everyone does like a massive, you know, like, it's like a really fancy thing over there. They decorate the houses outside, you know, like running Rudolphs and stuff. And I got this card through the post of a guy who'd come to your house and decorate it for you. So I thought, you know, this is cool. You effectively rent the external decorations for 3 or 4 weeks.
So it's quite a good business idea, actually. Mm.
Well, this guy's come down and he's made the house, I mean, literally all singing, all dancing. It was like an Aladdin's cave of, you know, Christmas stupidity. every time it got dark, you know, there's things running up and down the house, Santa jumping over the chimney pot.
Didn't sleep for 3 weeks.
well, the neighbours didn't. But it was supposed to be taken down on a certain day. And if it's not down, you get fined. And I lost a bloody number for this guy to ring him to come and take the stuff back down again. And honestly, without exaggeration, come June of the following year, Santa's jumping over the tree, jumping over the chimney.
That is brilliant. Did you just forget? Well, you think he'd come and get it
back?
Well,
I did think, well, I mean, effectively renting his equipment, yeah. He must try and find me. But no, I just had a letterbox full of, you know, red letter violations for, you know, the thousands of dollars I was fined for, you know, this Christmas sacrilege.
So did you have to pay for it to be there till June?
Well, I didn't pay him, but I did have to pay quite a lot of misdemeanors for the local community.
Oh my gosh. So. Could you not just have unplugged them?
Well, you know what?
No, it's Christmas.
Not in June.
He loves Christmas.
I'm not the man of the house.
Matt, what do you want for Christmas anyway?
I don't know. I'm still asking my daughter what she wants. I've got to prioritise her, but neither of us know.
So. Rodri's got in touch with us. We were asking what you want for Christmas. Tom at foodbyradio.com. Rodri's got in touch. Says, I remember when I asked my parents what they wanted for Christmas when I was a kid. They said peace and quiet. I never understood why. Now I'm alleged grown up with my own ankle biter. I understand. So, it's a bit of peace and quiet for Christmas. Matt, so let's get down to the nitty gritty. While you're here, man, a bit of business. After a few weeks away, you've been out where? You've been outside the studio.
but you've come down, you've joined us, which is good to have you here in the studio. But some of the most important aspects of creating and maintaining a successful business are staying on top of your accounts. I know, because I don't. and knowing the correct laws and how to deal with it, and then the tax man comes knocking, which is always terrifying, I find.
Well, what's funny is, like you say, you don't. You kind of, when you see self-employed people, it's almost understandable, not acceptable, understandable to a degree that, you know, that they're too busy earning the money to, you know, concentrate on how to do the accounts. But it still staggers me how many businesses, week in, week out, you know, decent sized businesses. I was working with a firm last week. You know, this guy's turnover 3 million, 4 million quid, sizable outfit. And when I asked them to produce some accounts, they were 15 months out of date. Wow. You know, we're talking like 2014's figures. And when I ask them where the new ones are, the accountant's working on them, and there's no management accounts. There's nothing to show in the meantime, and. People would never behave like that in their personal life. You know, if you've got a personal.
Oh, I don't know about that, man.
I know
somebody lives with me that does.
But you'd have a vague idea of what's going on, at least so you knew you could put your beer money to one side. But you know, it's never ceases to amaze me how, you know, like, you know, week in, week out, you know, businesses of that size don't keep on top of the accounts. But you know, I mean, one of your questions is, you know, should you, if you're a small business, should you start having?
Don't ruin the magic. Everyone thinks I'm making it up as I go along. Yeah, go on. When you're a small startup, Matt, should you look for external help or keep it in house when dealing with your account?
Seamless.
Well,
now you've put me on the spot.
Excellent. The magic when it's really ruined. Gone.
No. I mean, look, if you're a small startup, you're going to have to have external help, because you know you're not going to have the resources internally to do it. But you know, the key is, you know, finding the right professional. You know, there's 100,000 accountants out there, in the same way there's 100,000 lawyers out there, and you know, there's some good ones and there's some bad ones. And you know, I think my advice.
I think the word you're looking for is advice.
I like advice.
My advice is always to find. Not just someone who can add the numbers up for you, but you know, almost like a commercial partner that you know that you can get on with that will add more value than just, you know, what is, you know, £100 minus £50. You know, how are you going to get to the next level, and how are you going to make it in the most tax effective way?
They're blooming expensive though, aren't they, accountants?
They are, but you know, they don't. I mean, like anything, you get what you pay for. I think if you find the right partner who can show you how to do enough work to help them do their job better, then you know, then you shouldn't have to pay them. I mean, so many people turn up at the end of the year with literally a carrier bag full of receipts, dump them on the desk, and then complain at the bill, and you know, are surprised at the results as well. But I think if you know, the key for accounts is little and often, and if you're doing your bookkeeping every day and
boring, though, isn't it? Yeah, it's really boring.
And they won't be in a carrier bag anymore. You have to pay 5p.
It's another account.
Internet banking is basically handed as a gift with all of that receipt stuff now. We've got all of us, we can look at everything daily.
Yes.
And we don't have to write it all down or staple all of our receipts together, as long as we store all of the information in one way or another.
And I think off the back of that as well, you know, there's some great accounts packages out there as well, which are, you know, people think, oh, you know, accounts package, I don't need that. But you know, there's some which are completely tailored to small businesses, you know, sole traders, where you can almost, you know, license them for 10 quid a month, 20 quid a month, that they interact with your internet banking, pull everything through, and you literally, you know, press a couple of buttons, and it almost takes the accountant's job away, and until you get to such a huge size you can justify it. But you know, if you follow those processes, by the time you get an accountant involved, there's very little for them to do other than make it look pretty, and you know, you shouldn't be getting surprised with a big bill.
But when you're pitching in for business, right, for investment, how deep into your accounts will investors look? Well, what I mean is it crucial often to finding investment?
I mean, ultimately, they're going to dig very, very deep. Mm. In your opening meetings, you must have a full understanding of the headline figures. You know what's your turnover, you know, current and forecast. What's your margin? What's your costs? I mean, it's very unlikely in the very early stages, you know, that they're going to drill super deep. But if you can get past, you know, that first and second stage, and someone's ready to hand over the money, undoubtedly any investor worth their salt is going to want to do, you know, a level of due diligence, either himself or employ someone external. external to do it for him. And at that point, you know, they are going to get into the very fine print of the numbers, and they're going to want to make sure, you know, that they're true and there's no you know, surprising black holes or things.
And to make sure there's no black holes, what's your most important tip?
Well, assume we were talking about an honest black hole.
Come on, Matt, we're all about the honesty here.
Yeah, then you know, you don't want. I mean, any black hole is going to be a surprise for you as well. So, you know, it's just about keeping on top of it from the beginning. You know, if you've got a grasp of the figures from day one, then there shouldn't be any surprises for you or any investors.
Well, this is the only probably the time you've been in where I've actually got some personal experience, because I do run a very, very small, it's just me, limited company.
Yeah.
And actually, if you do keep on top of your taxes, you're making yourself money, aren't you? Basically. Because,
yes.
You know, if you're getting those invoices out at the right time, and I'm not saying I'm great at this, but if you're getting them out on time, you know, getting them, being all organised, knowing where, who's paid you, when, or whatever, you're actually literally earning yourself money. If you let it slide, you might forget about it, or lapses, or whatever.
Exactly. I think, you know, kind of what I was saying at the beginning, you know, little and often, you know, if you keep on top of it every week, it's, you know, 10 minutes or 15 minutes work, because you know what those invoices mean, you can relate to things. If you come back 6 months later and you're looking, oh, what's that transaction on the bank for, or you know, do these guys still owe me money, then you're naturally going to have forgotten. It's going to take you longer, and you might get it wrong.
And have you had to deal with many legal issues in your various different roles?
I've dealt with many legal issues. I mean, yes. I mean, for me, I wouldn't say I'm a micromanager by any stretch, but I do like to have a full understanding of what is going on. I know that's not always possible or practical for people in business, but, you know, whether, you know, I'm buying or selling, you know, suing or being sued, you know, I do, you know, like to think I understand as much as the people doing it on my behalf. But again, you know, like with accountants, you know, you just need to pick a good partner, a good firm. You know, word of mouth recommendations is the best, and, you know, go for it.
Very good. Listen, Matt, thank you very much. We've come to the end of this segment.
Thank you for having me.
Well, no, it's always a pleasure, never a chore. but hopefully we'll see you again. Thank you very much for today, for all your advice, and something I could chip in with as well. For the first time, I knew a bit about. Anyway, we're going to play a song, and we're going to come back, maybe talk a bit of sport, or we'll see. Maybe something else, depends, whatever. Charlie Clemmer here with me, Joe Burke here with me. This is Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes. It's Foo Bar Radio, it's 11:43. We'll be right back. it's 11:47. We're just coming towards the end of the show. But last weekend, we've been talking a little bit about it earlier in the show, but last weekend saw one of the best 16 hours of British sport in quite some time. First on Saturday night, Tyson Fury became the world heavyweight boxing champion when the rank outsider shocked the world by beating Vladimir Klitschko on points. As we've said, I sparred with him a while ago. It's probably down to me. And then on Sunday, Andy Murray dragged Great Britain to their first Davis Cup win in 79 years by winning all three of his matches. And Associated Press sports journalist Rob Harris wrote about this wonderful weekend of sport, and he joined us on the phone to talk about it. Hello, mate. How are you, Rob?
Oh, well, good morning.
Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. Main question, I suppose, is first question is, how does this weekend rank in terms of great British sporting weekends?
Well, certainly one that I think captivated the nation, and probably helped by the fact at least Murray's games were on free-to-air, which meant you had sort of 5 million peak audience on Sunday watching when he was sort of on the way to Davis Cup glory. Maybe on the flip side, Fury being on pay-per-view on Saturday night would have meant that wasn't really seen by the mass public, but certainly radio commentary is pretty good at that. Where does it rank? Probably not right up there. It's probably an uplifting way to end the year, I would say that.
But they've both been added, I see today, they've both been added to the British Sporting Personality of the Year Award. Do we think that either will win it? I suspect Tyson Fury probably might not, given his, given his homophobic outbursts of the past.
Yeah, I mean, the way Fury polarises opinion, I mean, he's not really well known, I would say, as well. It's really only maybe in the last sort of day or so you're getting these sort of big profiles, in particularly in the papers, of him. I know of sort of one case where Fury did a media day a couple of weeks ago, and there was someone there from the newspaper who apparently couldn't even get the interview in his paper as a result. So even then, a few weeks, it wasn't really sort of headline news. And he's not really got the character to really win over the public. He sort of tries to do some things, like his, sort of, his singing in the ring and some of his sort of more boisterous moments. Says he wants to be controversial, and maybe that's sort of really divisive. On the flip side, I think Murray was previously seen as one of those guys who was sort of a bit dour, not really engaging with the public. Well, actually, I didn't think it really reflected what he's like in person. And just now, I think the British public's really seen the real Murray, and maybe that voting will be influenced because Murray's had success later in the year, right before the vote as well.
And also, he did drag, you know, effectively drag the team, who were, apart from him, were largely useless, over the line. And so, I mean, that was a huge effort. Fury, people are saying, was one of the biggest heavyweight boxing upsets ever, beating Klitschko, who hadn't lost in 10 years. Which, to you, Rob Harris, was the bigger feat?
I think you've got to say Fury. You know, you've had Klitschko, who's been there for 10 years, dominating the sport, completely reigning supreme. Although he's now sort of aging, you know, virtually 40, still toppling from the summit of the sport is a success. And from the Davis Cup is, you know, if you've got one good singles player, as in Murray, it really sort of skews the whole competition. You know, you win your two singles games, you still take part in the doubles as long as you've got a good doubles partner, and suddenly you've got the victory. And as even Murray himself sort of pointed out yesterday, the Lawn Tennis Association hasn't really done much in actually bringing through other players. So it's only because of Murray we've really had that success. And Murray wasn't trained by the LTA, he wasn't sort of brought through the ranks by the LTA, basically brought up by his dedicated mum and an academy in Spain.
I mean, do you think that's true? You know, that Murray is correct that the Davis Cup win papers over the cracks in terms of the problems in British tennis. I mean, I was thinking whether, you know, the LTA should basically, when Andy Murray retires, make him the coach.
Yeah, look, it's so encouraging to see a sportsman actually sort of speaking out while at the top of his game. How, you know, when would you ever hear sort of Wayne Rooney speaking out against the FA, or Chris Robshaw against the RFU? You know, you've got someone who's at the peak of his sport representing his country, who's actually the day after it using another chance to sort of make a point to actually help the sport. And you know, he's someone you want to keep on board. You know, you've seen his mum Judy, she's sort of tried to sort of dedicate herself to also bringing through, you know, the next generation, and it's what we need. You know, it's a bit like Portugal. You know, if football was like the Davis Cup, you know, just because Portugal had Cristiano Ronaldo or Argentina Messi, they'd win the every title going. But actually, you need a whole team of players, and what the Davis Cup maybe papers over the cracks is that actually there isn't a mass depth pool of talent there, although, you know, there were encouraging signs, obviously, within the rest of the ranks of the team.
And going back to Fury, finally, what's the future for Fury? Can he dominate the division? I mean, I would say that he's not particularly great, and actually that wasn't a great deal to be excited about, his performance. I mean, we've got David Haye coming back, Anthony Joshua coming through. Can we expect lots of excitement in British heavyweight boxing, albeit not at a particularly high standard?
Well, I think that's the key thing, excitement. You know, it's been pretty dull, you could say, for years, given the Klitschko dominance, maybe what everyone's hoping to see is a Fury Klitschko rematch, maybe at Wembley. Seems like Joshua might be too soon at the moment for that sort of big showdown, and certainly Fury doesn't want anything to do with David Haye. We have to relinquish his belt to things rather than fight him. But what I think you need is, though, particularly for the health of the sport, is those big occasions, the ones that really captivate the public, and certainly an all-British bout would hopefully do that, particularly at somewhere like Wembley.
Okay, Rob Harris, thank you for joining us, mate. It's good to speak to you. That was Rob Harris there from Associated Press on a great British weekend of sport. But we're coming towards the end of the show, guys. Charlie Clemo, Joe Burke.
Hey.
Have you had fun?
I have.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Will you come again?
Yeah, definitely.
The real thing, yeah.
I was just going to say, though, I feel sorry for Jamie Murray. He was quite influential in the win as well.
What, in the doubles?
Yeah.
Not so much in the singles.
No, but he gets a hard...
Well, it's like so my brother works for a radio station leading.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he works for a leading radio station.
Oh,
and,
that shall not be mentioned.
Other radio stations are available.
They exist.
When I first met Sophie, first date, I told her that I was...
Your brother.
We were like the Paul. No, we were like the Jonathan Ross and Paul Ross.
Okay.
But less successful, obviously. But we were the new, you know. But
you've
we were
got
the Latchins.
Yeah.
And I said I was the Paul Ross, and then which I was. I, look,
happy
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
If I had a career like Paul Ross, I'd be happy. Then he got caught gay dogging, and I thought I don't really want to be Paul Ross anymore. Do you remember that?
I missed that. No,
you missed it. Yeah, yeah. And the Sun ran a front page saying. TV's Ross in Gay Dogging Storm. And I was like, what has Jonathan been up to?
No.
Oh, it's Paul. Oh, it's Paul, never mind.
Oh,
but you know,
God.
He sniffed meow meow off his lover's face.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And his wife stood by him.
They do, don't they?
What I thought would be really hard. It's like you've got to make that decision in an instant,
yes.
whether you stand by your husband
yes.
or not, because he was in the paper going, she stands by me.
Yes.
God, that must be a tough decision for her.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether they're, I mean, I wonder how their relationship is now, because
yes.
that's no time at all to decide whether
I
you will or you
that's
won't.
That's a two bedroom house.
Will, the producer, says they're living apart. So,
there you go, see?
So there you go. Thank you for that, Will. Well Googled.
Thanks,
nice
Will.
Work. Yeah, yeah. So it's a snap decision and it didn't work.
It didn't work. No, it didn't work.
Anyway, what are you guys up to later? What plans have you?
I am doing some more writing and, trying to flog me old book that's out.
Flog
in time for Christmas, people. Download it now on Amazon, $3.99.
Yeah, what's it called?
It's called Ice Cream and it's on Amazon to download and you can get a paperback on my website as well.
That's what you want for Christmas?
Yeah.
People to buy your
book. People to buy my book.
Yeah.
Good point. Well made.
And that's what... Who wouldn't want that
who wouldn't?
In their stocking?
Exactly.
Even though it's an iBook. it doesn't exist in a
it does
format
exist
that
in
can
paperback.
Go into a...
It does.
Oh, it does?
Yes, yes. There's
there
a paperback version. And it's 25% off the paperback at the moment for Crimble.
There you go.
There you go.
If you don't buy it, there must be something wrong with
mental.
You. Charlie Clemmer, what are you up to?
I'm going home to buy Joe's book.
Yay! Oh, I've got one.
Nurse my man flu.
Very good.
And then I'm visiting family at the weekend to see them
nice.
Before Christmas. So
nice.
I'm gonna start.
Big JC?
Yes!
Zoom,
yes.
You just weren't That's for you, JC.
My twin sister is furious that she hasn't had a song played today, so I'm definitely going to have to come back.
What would have been her song?
She'd have chosen Vanessa Paradis, Je le Taxi.
We
can just recreate it.
What about Never Tear Us Apart, Paloma Faith, or Let's Stay Together by Al Green, or Sex by the 1975, From the Ritz to Rebel, Arctic Monkeys, or Go Your Own Way by Fleetwood Mac?
Fleetwood Mac.
Well, that's good because we've got it on. We've got it waiting for her. It's What, I've forgotten your twin's name.
Hannah.
It's just, this is just for you, Hannah.
Hannah.
It's purely for you. We picked it exactly for you. It's that twin thing that we, she just looked at me and
telepathic.
We just telepathically knew this was what we had to play. Anyway, thank you to all my guests. Matt Haycock with The Business, AP Sports Journalist Rob Harris, London Live's new football presenter Kiri Bloor, actress Charlie Clemo. Thank you. Please come back, Charlie Clemo. Comedian
you.
Joe Burke, you will be back, I know.
I will.
Coming up at 4 p.m. Doc Brown and Hugh Joseph. Download all my interviews from, as a podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud. I'm here next week, 10 till 12, Fubar Radio, Tuesdays. And just for you, Hannah,
here
go your
comes.
Own way. Bye.
Last night, these two bouncers.
That's not even the right song.
It's the wrong song, Hannah.
Right, it's not even the right song.
Hannah, I'd like to apologise for this difficult moment.
Sorry, Hannah, did you want Arctic Monkeys? Because that was it.
I've just had a call. Hannah's on the phone. It's fine. Arctic Monkeys.
No, it's Fleetwood Mac.
It's Fleetwood Mac.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do. How can I ever change things that I feel? If I could, maybe I'd give. Things.